Okay, Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you?
I am.
Yay! I love your consistency. You know who you are.
It's real easy.
Yeah, well, with the mantra that you gave us last podcast, I think it is really easy. So, thanks again. The fourth dimension, here we go again. Chapter 15, podcast number 3. The excitement continues. The fourth dimension roller coaster.
When do you get up to where I am?
Yeah, you're already on what, chapter 20?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I'm five behind. It seems like a constant. I'm five behind. That's all right though, right?
You bet.
Good. It says here that you refuse to be called a Christian. What's the problem with being called a Christian?
There's no problem with it. There's nothing wrong with being called a Christian if you want to be called one. I don't want to be called one.
So you're prejudiced?
I'm prejudiced against me being called a Christian, yes.
I can't bait you on that one, I guess, eh? You seem to have that down pat. I guess you've been challenged on that one before.
Yes, I have been.
Well, one of the issues that you bring up is Christians, in particular, going to heaven, and I'm pretty sure that Muslims have that same viewpoint. I don't know that Hindus do.
Yeah, some Hindus do.
They do? They go to heaven?
Well, they talk about heaven.
Oh, I thought they talked about...
Also, some Hindus talk about going to hell, too.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that. I guess I need to get some more Hindu friends so they can learn more about it.
Yeah, my exposure to Hindus was in Africa, and almost all Indian extraction businessmen in Kampala area of Uganda.
And so they have a hell and heaven concept too.
Some
you're do. Saying that it doesn't exist, but I mean, if you were to have that debate with a Christian, I think they'd vehemently disagree with you. And there's plenty of reference to a life thereafter. And isn't there a considerable amount of dialogue and debate between the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so on and so forth? One group believing that there's life after death and you go to heaven, and the other one believing that there is no life after death? I mean...
Well, I need to stop you.
Yeah?
You said that I said it doesn't exist. I didn't say that.
The great hope is going to heaven after they experience physical death.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And you're saying that there's a far grander truth to know and explore. And so you do hint around that. Well, I don't know about hint. You're quite clear. Anyone who believes in me will never die, but you don't give any alternative theory. You just say, well, they're not going to die. But heaven is not necessarily about dying. It's about what happens after you die.
Hold on.
Okay.
Where are you coming up with all that stuff?
I'm reading your article. It says right here, Christians particularly think the great hope is going to heaven after the experience of physical death. And yes. You're saying there is a far greater truth to know and explore.
Yeah.
And you talk about it. And the first one you mentioned that Jesus mentioned is anyone who believes in me will never die.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the second one is don't look here or there for the kingdom of heaven, for it's in you. Now, you're quoting Jesus, and I granted I've read those words from Jesus too, but if you're taking away heaven as a place where people get to go to when they die.
No.
I'm
not taking away anything.
Well, okay, so then you're saying that there's a far grander truth. What's the grander truth?
The grander truth is the kingdom of heaven exists right now, and it exists in you. It's a parallel existence. You don't have to wait till you die. Don't look here or there. For the kingdom of heaven is within you. I mean, how clear can it be?
Well, then what about all the promises and the description of heaven and the angels and the, you know, the crowns that you cast? What about all that?
That's fine.
What about when Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven or seventh heaven and he gives a description of it and it's quite pleasant, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I'm not saying I didn't. Who am I to take away anything?
Well, that's what it feels like when I read it.
Well, I'm sorry for your feelings. And I'm sorry I've hurt you, Mr. Bruce. But I didn't take it anyway. You can have it. And you can die if you want.
Well, I know that's my choice. But the question is, what happens for those that do die? What happens?
You're going to heaven, I guess.
Well, where's the far grander truth?
The far grander truth is that you can enter it now, this moment.
By falling on my sword?
I'm gonna use an expletive. You're not that dumb. Don't play that game with me.
So
no, by entering the fourth dimension, by entering the kingdom now.
Okay.
Don't look here. Don't look there. For heaven's sake, don't ignore what he said about you don't have to die. It's not either or. It's both.
Okay, I get both. Okay, so if I screw up and die, totally blow my life and allow it to be stolen from me. Well, wait a second. What about those who consider that the end of this life is an evolution? I get to move up the ladder.
So, what about it?
You're right. What about it? It's not germane to your point at all. So I'm going to drop this track. I get your point. I can enter the kingdom of heaven now.
I'm going to dance on your neighbor's lawn.
Yeah.
We haven't heard that one for a long time out of you.
Yeah. Yes. And I agree with you, Brad. I agree with you 100%. I can live there right now. As a matter of fact, I am already there. Well, the issue is I'm not really aware of it, right?
Those few people who are still listening, what do you think now?
Well, they probably thank God that there's a way out of this podcast through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame them.
Yeah, and then further on down the article, you talk a little bit about not doing or doing what he doesn't want to do and not doing what he does want to do. You're quoting Paul there.
Yeah.
And you're suggesting that's the quote of a victim mentality.
I would say such a thing. I would criticize our brother Paul. I don't think so.
Well, you describe it as the best way to underscore the victim mentality of being trapped in the third dimension.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because then the whole sin mentality is a victim mentality, isn't it? Not only do we have a victim mentality if you adopt the a sinner fallen from grace attitude, I'm just a poor sinner fallen from grace. Not only that, we also have a poster boy to blame, and girl, Adam and Eve, right?
Sure.
Sure. And
bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole victim mentality in a box, isn't it?
It is.
Well, why do we adopt those sort of things? Why do we hang on to that? It doesn't seem very productive to me. I don't know how many people I've heard say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Why do I have to be a sinner? Why do we even have to have that dialogue?
Well, it's I go into great length to explain that word in somewhere or another.
You do. I guess, but that's not what we're taught. We're taught something totally different. We're taught that we are sinners and we're born flawed.
Yeah. Well, you and I had a discussion probably a year and a half ago where I suggested that you beat on your chest and you almost beat on my head.
Well, I get irritable when I read stuff like that, because I agree with you. It points to the victim mentality. 100%. And I don't like being anybody's victim. I'm not willing to be somebody's victim. That's not my role in life. Why would Paul even be having that discussion? And why would they hold it up as sacred text in the Bible?
Well, yeah, he says, it ain't me that did it. It's sin that made a home in me.
Yeah. See, like he absolves himself from blame and blames somebody else.
Yeah.
Sin made a home in me. Whoa. Well, let's just pull that sin right out. Is that like changing your underwear? It's like having a dirty pair of underwear on, I guess.
Let me ask you a question. When you call me usually to record it about some article or another that I've written, you usually have some poignant or some pointed remarks, and it seems to me like you're reaching today. What prompted you to call me about this article?
Well, I promised that I would, for one, and two, I feel like there might be something that came up between articles 10 and 15 that you'd want to focus in on, that you thought were key elements of it. Because when I read it, I can't argue about any of it. I agree with you 100%, especially after we have been through the series you just finished, Being Jesus. I don't see how I could be Jesus and argue with what you're saying here. I could argue with who you're quoting. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that I'm not a big fan of Paul, but I can't disagree with anything. I can't pick holes in it. It's straightforward. Here's what it says in the New Testament, and here's what it really means for you. It fulfills the title that you gave at the very beginning, Practical Living in the Fourth Dimension.
Whee!
Well, all I have to say is, finally, Brad, you're finally doing it right.
Well, I guess we've lost a bunch more Christians.
Uh-oh.
Oh, anybody that has listened to you knows that, I try to walk a fine line. You say you don't like to denigrate anybody's religion, but you sure beat up on that faith.
No, I wouldn't say, okay, fair enough. You're right. Maybe I'm going a little bit far here. I don't have anything against what I learned, but a quote that I heard recently fits very well to how I feel about it. Church is a good place to be born, but it's a bad place to die.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's pretty good.
What I'm looking at when I look at the writings of Paul is that he must be focused on something different than I'm focused on, because I don't see him being focused on life and that more abundantly.
A Christian who pays attention to what Jesus said will never have a ministry. He won't say this is Bob Jones' ministry or whoever's ministry, because if he's following what Jesus said, which is that he that believes in me will do the same things that you see me do. But wait a minute. He said, I didn't do these things. The Father in me, or the Spirit in me, did these things. So it follows that you're going to do what Jesus did, you're not going to take any credit for anything, because you don't do it. You've never heard me. You know of people, and you've been an instrument of his healing. You know quite a few people that have been healed, quote, at my activity, right?
Yes.
Okay. Never once does anybody say, oh, well, Brad Cohen did it. And the reason they don't is because I make it clear. You know, you're not going to get healed by me, and nobody ever comes back. That's not true. Every now and then, well, I saw that. That woman was dead. And you brought her back to life. That woman was blind, and you brought her back. You gave her eyesight. I didn't give her anything. Why is that so hard? If Jesus didn't either, why does anybody want to take credit for something that they have no business taking credit for?
What about that story where there were 10 guys and Jesus healed them and said, go show your priest? And he commented that only one returned. Why would he care if they returned then?
I don't know. That's one incident.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look into that a little bit more myself, I guess.
Yes. If I were you, I would do a big research project in the Bible.
Well, it's interesting that one of the stories that you point out is the one where the two people go to the temple and one guy goes on and on about how great he is. I thank God that I tithe and I follow all the rules of the law. And the other guy just beats on his chest, and God be merciful unto a sinner such as I.
That's me.
And so Jesus says that the guy who goes there and says, well, I'm a sinner, is the one who goes home righteous. But what I'm suggesting to you is that, well, wait a second. Well, why do I have to beat on my chest? Why do I even have to be a sinner? Didn't one of the articles you previously we discussed last time about no judgment, didn't that just say that all my activities in the fourth dimension are not judged? There's no judgment on my activity in the fourth dimension, so then why is my activity in the third dimension judged? Who's doing the judging? And who's deciding that I need to pound on my chest and say, be merciful on such a sinner as I? And why is Jesus applauding that sort of behavior if in the fourth dimension there's no judgment?
Are you through?
Well, it seems to be a little confusion here.
Well, no, you're creating confusion. It's you, Mr. Publisher. You are being a pain. We went through this a year and a half ago, and you came back a week later and said, I get it, I try it, it's a wonderful tool, and I'm telling everybody what a great tool is. What was the tool? You beat on your chest. And now you've gotten to the point where you no longer do that.
Hold on a second. Beat on your chest for what? I'm not talking about the physical action, because the physical action that you're talking about is breaking through the mind barrier to go to the fourth dimension, to actually hear and follow and behave in accordance with the kingdom of heaven. That's the beating on your chest. What I'm talking about is the quote, God be merciful unto such a sinner as I. And that's Jesus talking about this. It's not Paul. We can't blame Paul this time.
I am going to find out which podcast it was where you argued all over the place and said, well, no, wait a minute, I'm not a sinner. I left all that behind. And on and on you went. And you're probably as big a sinner as I know. I mean, what?
Hey, I got something for you.
What is it? Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much. You know, it's not, your judgment is over. It's done. Yes, it's over with. It's one way of breaking through for self-righteous idiots like you used to be, in which I never hear self-righteousness come out of your mouth anymore. But that, to me, was your big breakthrough. And where are you going with that? Are you going back to that? Certainly you don't think that you being the utter mess of a human being that you are perfect without him being in you.
I agree with that. My question is not necessarily the fact that I'm God. That's not the question. And that's not what I'm suggesting. I not only miss God on a personal relationship basis, but I miss him in people too.
Which is the definition of sin.
But the question is, you know, is it really necessary for me to get on the floor and weep tears and go, oh, Lord, have mercy on...
Well, I don't know if it is for you. It isn't for me.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. I just don't want that to be taken out of context. We're talking about entering into the fourth dimension. And breakthrough through your own mental barrier is one thing, and being on your chest is a good way to do it. I agree. But adopting that sinner identity, I don't see that as being a valuable experience when you're working in the fourth dimension. I don't be there or be there.
Well, and if you are, why jump back out?
First, this physical body is to distract me.
There you have it.
Yeah.
But guess what? It, all Jesus was pointing out, and I don't know why we make such a big, you know, why we go over this. It's no need to. But the point was that the self-righteous religious guy who pointed to all his goodness didn't go home righteous in God's sight. It was the other guy. The other guy who was an abject, pain-in-the-butt sinner who did all kinds of stuff.
Right. It's been severely twisted.
Yes, it has been. But I don't mind going back there because it's the one place where Jesus said, how to get the righteousness of God. That's pretty good. Pretty good deal, as far as I'm concerned.
It is a good deal.
You cry out, Lord, you know, God, be merciful to such a sinner as I. Done. It's over. Now, will you please move on?
It rubs me. I can area I need to move on. I don't like having that dialogue, couple with that dialogue when I talk to a Christian who uses kind of language. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
That's a whole different issue.
And it's a rub. And so when I see the quote, "Be merciful on such a sinner such as I, kind of, oh man, leave that behind, please. Okay. Can we move on?
Hey, can I suggest something to you?
Sure.
Next time you meet one of those people that is a rub.
Hmm.
You punch him in the nose.
He'll solve all my problems.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, brother. I'll get the next 5 as quickly as possible, too. And I sure hope our listening audience doesn't leave us because it's horrible podcast.
Well, maybe they'll forgive us and be loving.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Hey. Oh, hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.